want to ask a question to you this afternoon. Has God been worshipped and by whom? And not just today. Let's look at the situation. We are nearing a year where some of us have not been back at the building. I'll make an explanation on our situation just a little bit later on in the lesson. But during that year, and even today, there's been some that have been at the building. Have they worshipped the Lord? There have been some online. Have they worshipped the Lord? Are those online, can they worship the Lord by being online? Are all that are present at the building, are they worshiping the Lord? I want to just look at these points with you and make consideration of what is taking place and make sure that we understand what worship really is. Has God been worshipped today? Are we worshiping God right now? And as we look, first of all, has the gospel been preached today? And we see in Acts 2 and verse 42 that it says, "And they," that is the church, "were continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles." Has that taken place here today? Is it because I'm not with you present at the building that the gospel has not been preached? Is the gospel only preached whenever there is someone physically standing before someone at a building that the gospel is preached? We understand what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, especially there in verse 20, as we'll get to it, but all authority is mine in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age or end of the world. Is Jesus with us? Well, he's not standing physically with us, but is Jesus with us? You see, spiritually we understand that Jesus is with us, not only at the building, but everywhere we are, because as we find out in the 110th Psalm, where can we go to not be in the presence of God? There's not a place, not to the highest mountain, not to the depths of the sea, not into the grave. The presence of God is everywhere. We understand that. Is Paul with us? You know, I use Paul quite a bit in my preaching. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 4. He says to the Corinthians, "It is actually reported there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and rather have not mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present." Get that there in verse 3 if you would. "For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present. Him who has so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Did Paul say that and it was empty words? Did he say that he was present with them in the spirit? Is the only way that this man could have been disciplined would be for Paul to be there? No, he's saying, "I am with you. I'm with you when you do the Lord's will. I'm with you and you put that man away." And the same thing is true with preaching. Preaching is spiritual. Matter of fact, all of these things we're going to be looking at in this lesson, the preaching, the teaching of God's word, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers, they're spiritual. Let me just say right here, right now, I cannot wait to get back to the building. Well, actually, I can, because I made a determination. I'll explain that more in just a little while. But I want to be back at the building. But right now, as I'm presenting this lesson to you, are there those in the audience that are saying, "Well, this is not a sermon because he's online"? Are there those that say, "Because I can't physically shake his hand, see him present in front of me, the words that he's saying are just words that go into the air. They're truly not, it's truly not preaching of God's word"? Or do we understand the spiritual aspect of that preaching, just as Paul expressed to the Corinthians, and just as Jesus said when he said, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age"? has the gospel been preached? Let me tell you that when I do come back to the building, it will still be preaching from God's word. It will still be passages of scripture that I give. It will still be the admonition, exhortation, reproving and rebuking, and comforting through God's word. It will be exactly the same as you're hearing right now. If indeed you are hearing, I don't know that you are. Of course, the fact remains that I don't know if you are listening wherever I'm standing before you there present in the building. Only you know that. And you see, for the gospel to be preached and for it to be effective, it's not so much about the preacher, it's about the one hearing the word. If they truly are hearing, if they're truly listening, that's what makes it spiritual. The words can come out of my mouth, can fall upon their ears, but not go into their understanding, their mind, and into their heart. And it's truly not spiritual. And so it doesn't matter about the location, doesn't matter about being online, or doesn't matter about being at the building. It's really dependent upon you, the hearer. If I'm preaching the gospel, that is through God's word, in accordance with his will, and as we say, book, chapter, and verse, to make the points, it's up to you. So has the gospel been preached? Because I have not been standing physically before you. I pray you understand from this that the answer is yes. Have we been in fellowship? Acts 2 and verse 42, and they were continuing steadfastly in the fellowship. And we have understood, hopefully you've understood from lessons that I presented in the past on fellowship, that fellowship is spiritual. It's not anything about, well, we went fishing and we had fellowship together. No, it's not about those carnal things. It's not about that which is temporal. It is that which is spiritual. And Jesus really makes that point for us when we look in John 4, 20 through 24. The woman at the well makes this statement to Jesus. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, that was the one in Samaria, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Understand, Jesus is not saying that worship could not be done at Jerusalem and worship could not be done on that mountain in Samaria, which I have now cannot remember the name of that mountain, but bear with me. He's not saying that. What he's saying in verse 21 is, worship is not place dependent. Verse 22, he says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is it possible that there are those at the building right now that are truly not in fellowship because their minds are not into this sharing of the gospel, this sharing of the worship of God? Their mind is somewhere else. Their desires are somewhere else. Is it possible that there are those online like that and those at the building like that? The answer is yes, that's possible. And it doesn't matter where the preacher is standing. And it doesn't matter where we are. Understand, I understand and am going to make comment a little bit later on about the importance of us being physically together. There is an importance in that. But hopefully, as you'll also see through this lesson, the physical and aspect of worship unto God is only incidental. It's only incidental. Because I can be sitting right beside someone at the building. I can be here online. You can be at the building or online and not be in fellowship whatsoever with anyone else, nor with the Lord. Because it doesn't matter about your physical location. And so, when we look at fellowship, fellowship is spiritual. And I believe we all understand that, especially what Jesus says here. In verse 21, that fellowship is not place dependent. I understand the importance of us meeting together, being with one another. There is not only a comfort, but there is an edification that comes from that when we're all at the building, but we are all together right now also. And we can have spiritual fellowship if we are spiritual. It really, once again, is dependent upon us individually. If we're spiritual, no matter if we're online or we're at the building, right now we are in fellowship. Have we broken the bread and have assembled on the first day of the week, and also at the other times that the elders have chosen for us to be here, but especially with the breaking of the bread. In other words, the Lord's Supper. Acts 2 and verse 42, and they were continuing steadfastly in the breaking of the bread, which we understand is not a common meal, but this is speaking of the Lord's Supper. I want you to notice some verses that deal not only with the Lord's Supper, but also with the assembling. And that's why I put these two together. First of all, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20 through 22, therefore, when you come together in one place, and I understand they did not have Zoom back in the first century. I understand that. I understand that he is speaking of what their ability was to come together at that time. The physical aspect of it. I understand that. We have afforded to us, of course, this situation as we have right now. Some at the building, some on Zoom. Are we assembled? We are assembled if we are spiritual. I'll go back to being in fellowship. We are assembled if we are spiritual. And when we look at this, he says in verse 21, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the other. One is hungry and another is drunk. Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Note the point that he gets to here in verses 23, 22. You may be assembled together, but you're not there for the right reason. You're not there for the purpose of truly remembering the Lord's death. You may be all together and assembled together, but you're not there. You're not there. And I want to make sure I'm being heard. I don't think there's an issue there. I think the volume's coming through okay. Understand that you're, even though you're assembled together, you're not really in fellowship. You're not really worshiping God. There was a misuse of the Lord's Supper. And then wherever he gives the command, verses 23 through 25, of what the Lord commanded in instituting the supper, he says this beginning in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I want you to note this. Is he talking about a collective action, or is he talking about an action that is in whoever is, will you please unmute at the building for just a moment? Can y'all hear me? Will you please unmute at the building?
Yes, we can.
All right, thank you. All right, whoever is texting me right now, I'd ask you not to do that. When we look at this, is he saying that the collective is partaking of the Lord's Supper, or is he saying that the Lord's Supper is being taken in the assembly? I want you to notice this. For as often, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Is he saying that each member that is present must partake of the Lord's Supper properly in order for the Lord's Supper to be taken properly? Or is he talking about an individual action that is taking place in an assembly setting? Notice, because I believe he answers that beginning in verse 27. I understand he uses the plural, but then he goes and looks at the singular in this. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks is in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He says, because of this, there were those that were not discerning what the Lord's Supper was about. They were making it a common meal. Their responsibility individually then was being defiled in their remembrance of the Lord's death. They were not making that proclamation, as we saw in verse 26, individually. And so then he says, for this reason, many are weak and sickly among you. He doesn't say the whole congregation is sick or weak. He says it is those that have defiled the very purpose of the Lord's Supper. Then he says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the whole world, individuals. You know, we have not missed an assembly, except for the one that was weather caused here a couple weeks ago. But we've not missed an assembly. We've not missed partaking of the Lord's Supper at any time during the past year. It's not taken place. It has been offered in this assembly, and we are in an assembly setting when we are together in fellowship, as we stated back in Acts 2 and verse 42, when we are in fellowship to do the Lord's will and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we have been assembling, we have been breaking the bread. I can be sitting at the building beside you, and you don't know if I'm partaking of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, even though I'm sitting right beside you, even though the bread goes in my mouth, and even though the fruit of the vine goes down my throat. You don't know what's in my heart, what I'm thinking. You don't know if I'm making proclamation of the Lord's death in doing what I'm doing. You don't know if I'm just going through the motions. And the same thing is true with those online. We don't know that. That's the reason that this is an individual action that is taken in an assembly setting, and we are assembled together. We are assembled together. Notice this. Have we been in prayers? Acts 2 verse 42. Once again, they were continuing steadfastly in the prayers. The prayers talks about the prayers, the petitions that are given to God, in which we ask, of course, concerning supplications, the wording of prayers, intercessions, the giving of thanks be made for all, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to notice this and think about it. We had, we had a prayer this morning by Brother Al Hill. He was online. Was it a prayer? Because he wasn't physically standing at the building, wasn't a prayer because you couldn't see him physically there at the building. Is it only a prayer when we're at the building? Or is it a prayer if we're talking with somebody over the phone, if we are online? Can petitions be given to God only in the presence of someone? Well, we know the answer to that. That's certainly not so. And the same thing in connection with worship. Paul says in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I have exhorted the men of this congregation that when they pray, and I've noticed a difference, and thankfully we've noticed a difference, that when we lead a public prayer, we are leading in prayer. That means that everyone else is praying with us, and so we don't use the singular I. I pray for this, I pray for that. It is we, in accordance with God's will. And it doesn't matter if we're online or not online. As a matter of fact, we had Brother Greg pray just a moment ago. Was his prayer an acceptable prayer before God? By every word that he gave in that prayer, I would say yes. Where was his heart? I can't say. And you can't say. Only Brother Greg knows. And being led in that prayer, if we're following along with him, well, then we understand that if we are in fellowship with him, and that fellowship is in spirit and in truth, well, then we are praying with him. It doesn't matter if it's online or not. We have petitioned God at every assembly that we've been in, whether it's been online or there at the building, whether the man was online or whether the man was there at the building. Petitions have been made before God. We have done that. Have we praised God in song? Let me just say this on the outset. When we had the leader sing online, I will just be honest with you, I was uncomfortable. The only time I wasn't comfortable was whenever there were others in the room that were singing with him and it did not appear to be a solo. And so those that sang with the song leader when we did it online, and the song leader was online, I appreciate those that sang along with him. And I'll just be honest, I was uncomfortable with that. But even in the singing of the songs, wherever you look at this over in Ephesians 5, verse 19 through 21, we are to make melody in our heart to the Lord. Well, who can hear that? It says to the Lord. That means the most beautiful tongues can come out of our mouth. But is it pleasing to the Lord? We don't know. Other than ourselves. Whether or not we are truly singing praises unto God or just to hear our own voices. If we just want to hear the music rather than the meaning of the words and the teaching that takes place. The speaking to yourselves and also teaching and admonishing each other, as it says in Colossians 3 and verse 16. And so we look at that and we understand that even though the song leader is standing before us, we can see him. And even though someone is sitting beside us, when we sing songs, only the person is responsible for their worship unto God. And we cannot tell whether or not they are truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth by the songs they sang. I have the wrong heading here at the bottom. Forgive me for that. I'll get to that point in just a moment. And so again, the singing of songs, it goes back to the individual. And it goes back to that which is in spirit and in truth. Because we are singing grace in our hearts to the Lord. Because we are giving thanks and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, as is stated here. Have we given of our means? And here is where this particular bullet should have been at the bottom. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 9, chapter verse 6 and 7, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." I don't look and see who puts money into the tray as it goes around. It's not my business. And if you're doing it only because the tray is being passed in front of you physically, you're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I believe that there was an issue several months ago, whenever there was just the little mailbox in the back and there wasn't much giving that was taking place. And then it started to pick up because someone passed a plate in front of us. Let me just say this about that. And brethren, I say this out of love, but if that was the situation with you, shame on you. Shame. If your giving is only because a plate comes in front of you, shame on you. And the point that Paul makes here in 2 Corinthians 9, chapter and verse 6, we understand that we give as we are prospered, and that those that reap sparingly will also, those that sow sparingly, and those that sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's not just putting a dollar in. I've done my part, I've checked the box, I gave a dollar. I gave. You can't say I didn't give, I gave a dollar. You didn't give enough. And that's just straightforward. You didn't give enough. I don't know everyone's financial situation. For some, a dollar would be a stretch. Just like that woman that put in the two mites. That's all that she had. And there are some that I wish in the past that I've been around, I wish they wouldn't give because they are in such deep need. The Lord would understand if they didn't give at that time until situations changed for them. And yet there are some that I believe that put money in that doesn't come close to what God expects. Well, have we been giving? Well, the lights are on, the needy have been helped, and we're still supported. That's to talk about me and Beverly. We're still supported here. And so I'm going to say that worship has been done, but only you can really be accountable for the worship that you've given in connection with your giving. All of that, we've done, every bit of that. Have some of us not been at the building because of cowardice? Let me tell you, unless something changes, Beverly and I plan to be back April the 11th. And what that does, and I don't know if everyone got the message on GroupMe, Beverly had deep brain surgery. And she had that to alleviate the effects of Parkinson's disease. And I could have come back to the building and I could have said, Beverly, I'm going to take my chances. And if I get infected with COVID, that's going to put your surgery off. But you'll just have to wait. You just need to suck it up and you just wait and don't worry about being relieved, not being able to live the life that you need to live in order to worship your God and to serve your God the way that you want. You're just on your own. And let me tell you, and this is very personal, and I understand it. Beverly didn't have that surgery for herself. Beverly had that surgery for her family and all of you. She's already making plans of how we can have everybody over to this house here very soon. We lived a little further south than where we live right now. We had some acreage. And on many, many Sundays, the whole congregation would come. We'd share a meal in between services. And then we would go back for services at 2 o'clock. And I will tell you, that is her plans. And we would have been back sooner, except for her condition. The reason we are waiting for April the 11th is because that will put us 2 weeks past our second shot. We've had the first vaccination, and that will put us 2 weeks past when the effectiveness of that vaccine is full blown. I was not going to take away that opportunity for Beverly to serve her God and tell her, you're just on your own. If you get COVID, you'll just have to wait. There is physical relief that she is experiencing at this time. And I'm so thankful for that. But she wants to worship God. And I want to worship God, and I want to be there. Is it cowardice that is keeping us away? Well, you don't trust in God enough. Well, let me just put this out to you. Acts 9, verse 23 through 25. Paul is in Damascus after becoming a Christian. And it says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down through the wall in a large basket. Paul, you coward. You go out there and you face those people and you tell them, you just go ahead and kill me. You coward. Why in the world would you escape by night being let down through the wall in a large basket? You coward, you. Who of us would say that to Paul? Who of us would say to the brethren at Berea that sent him away by night because of those of Thessalonica that came to do him harm and sent him away to Athens? Who would say, you're just a coward being sent away by night? None of us would say that. No, I will tell you, the reason that we did not come back was for prudence's sake. I will also say this, and I want everybody please to listen. Some may use this situation that we are in with COVID out there to make an excuse not to come to the building ever. I won't come to the building unless everyone is vaccinated. Well, everyone may not get vaccinated. We take care of ourselves to the best ability that we can, and then we do what the Lord expects of us. But we cannot use that excuse to not come back to the building. We cannot use the excuse to forsake the assembling together. We are doing that, but I also understand, and I think each of us understands, the importance of being with one another. And I will tell you, it's because of a lesson like this that shows the importance of us being together physically. Because this lesson would mean nothing except for the spiritual aspect if we were all present at the building and this had never happened. But now our faith is tried and our spirituality has been tried during this situation. So I will tell you, it is not for cowardice sake that I'm not there right now. It is out of prudence sake and care and concern for my wife. I will let you know that. And again, I apologize. I do apologize for the personal aspect, but I believe it needed to be said. I don't know if everyone understood. Beverly put out a text on GroupMe. I don't know if everyone read it or not. She had brain surgery. And that is the reason that we're not there. It was deep brain surgery. We do appreciate all the prayers for those that did understand that and prayed for her. Thank you so much. If we have the wrong attitude of it's cowardice, go and stand out in the middle of I-35. Well, if the Lord will protect me. No, that's not prudence. That's not thinking in a prudent way. And so, no, it's not cowardice. Has God's invitation been given, even though it's been given from online by myself at the close of every lesson that I give, to the lost? Have I made it clear to those that are not children of God that Jesus is calling you? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you heard the invitation I've given to you if you're not a child of God? If you, as children of God, have been listening, even though I'm online, you understand that I've offered this invitation that is offered by the Lord continually online every time that I preach. And wherever I come back to the building, it will not change. I will still offer that invitation. And I also offer the invitation that is offered by the Lord continually also to those that have left the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. And there may be some in the audience that are not serving the Lord. They once did, but they have quit serving the Lord. Your soul is in jeopardy. Do those words that I just presented right now, do they make any difference if I'm doing it online as you're listening? Or if I'm at the building, does it make one bit of difference? The answer is no. Paul says in Romans 13:11-14, and that knowing the time, this is to those that have left the Lord, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, that if we are in a covenant relationship with Him. For the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. What he's saying there, doing what we want to do. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And if we're not serving God, we are fulfilling our own lust. It's the same invitation that I gave before I left the building, the one that I've been giving online, and the one that will be given wherever I come back, Lord willing. It is the same preaching of the gospel that is given in person, over the phone to someone, in letters, in articles, and online. It doesn't matter. It's still the gospel of Christ Jesus. Do I want to be back at the building more than anything? More than anything. But I also understand, and you cannot speak for me and I cannot speak for you, that I believe that I've worshiped my God in spirit and in truth through this period of time that I've been online. Let me ask, may we assist you? I know this was a very pointed sermon. And sometimes those sermons are necessary. Because we need to care about one another. We need to have understanding. We need to have mercy. And understanding. We also need, elders, you need to understand when there are those, when the time comes, that are using every excuse not to be at the building. And all it is an excuse. And you'll need to address that. Also understand that if the elders decide to continue with Zoom, there are those that are shut in and just cannot get out. And this is an avenue where they can worship their God in spirit and in truth. And I pray, it's the elders' decision, but I pray that the elders do not take that away from them. I pray we continue on with Zoom. But we will follow the elders' direction on that. Can we assist you in worshiping God in spirit and in truth? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Unmute at the building, please.
Will you come to the fountain free? is a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, 'tis for you and me.
Thirsty soul,
hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
There's a rock
that's cleft, and the soul is left that may not its pure water share. It is for you and me, and this stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there.
Will you
come to the fountain free?
Will you
come just for you and me?
Thirsty soul,
hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.